On behalf of the WAFL, I formally declare the winner of the 2017 Sandover Medal, Hayden Sloyth of the South Fremantle Football Club, with 52 votes.
There it is! Swans have ended a 20-year drought! Mark, knocked down by Stevenson, Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Yes, congratulations, Hayden Sloyth. He is the 2017 Sandover medalist. Poppy, well-deserved, I think, for that man.
Absolutely. He has been so consistent this year. He has been a consistent performer for a really good side, which is often hard to do, I think, to stand out in a side that's performing as well as South Freo did this year. So congratulations to him, and he continued it again on the weekend. He was fantastic in a losing side, unfortunately. The Bulldogs went down to Subi 14-14-98 to 10-6-66. The Bulldogs did come back a little bit towards the end, which gave the Subi fans a bit of a fright. I was sitting in the stands, and there were some nervous moments for those Subi supporters. They did manage to get over the line, and South actually came out really strongly.
They did, didn't they? Yeah.
In that first quarter, I thought, it's a Subi home game. I thought this is going to be a little bit awkward.
Well, I tipped them initially. I said that Subi was going to struggle after their loss to Peel. And then I thought, when I first was watching this game, I think I've picked right.
You thought you're a genius.
But the second quarter comes around.
That's right. Well, in that first quarter, it was really good to see Liam Baker come back from that concussion. He kicked Subi's only two goals in that first quarter, which was pretty impressive, I thought, considering he was stretchered off the previous week with a bit of a controversial bump. But
hey, that generated a lot of traction on the Monday Waffle Facebook page.
That's right. Get on the page, like the page. And Liam Ryan just keeps on, doesn't he? He is incredible. A few runs where he just burnt off three or four opponents, leaving them, you know, sprawled along the floor because they've tried to tackle him and absolutely bloody failed.
Well, you were telling us before we started recording today, it was almost Buddy Franklin-esque running down the line.
Down the wing, tapping the ball onto himself, running past his opponents, burning them off, picking it up, tapping it on again, and then kicking it unselfishly inside 50 to an opponent. And he did that a couple of times on the weekend. And I tell you what, it gets the crowd up and going. If it's a quiet crowd, quiet moment, all you need is Liam Ryan to go near the ball and the whole crowd. He nearly took what probably could have been Mark of the Year. Could have been the fifth entrance. Sorry, Ben Saunders, but you'll probably get the boot. If he'd got two hands on this, I think we would have seen it everywhere. He got up so high, I'm surprised he didn't come back with altitude sickness.
Or he jumped left the Earth's gravity pool.
Yeah, had a look at the ozone layer. In the third quarter, though, there were some injury concerns for Subi. Cocky came off looking a little bit sore, but he did come back on and he finished the quarter off really well. So good on him, and hopefully he'll be perfectly fine for the grand final. Subi have a few selection decisions to make. Do they bring Chris Phelan back?
I don't know. Well,
he started the season really well and then, you know, obviously out for quite a few weeks. Do they bring him back?
Well, at this time of year, Jared Schofield, a winning side is a winning side, and you don't want to, I don't know if you want to mess with that too much.
With momentum as well.
Exactly. And the team's obviously gone through a very tough game against South Freo, a very tough opponent. I don't know if they want to change things, but then Chris Phelan's Chris Phelan.
That is true, and he's a big part of that team, and he was a big part of that initial, you know, momentum build, getting them into that middle of the season where they were just indestructible. So it will be a big decision, but, you know, for a coach, it's not a bad decision to have. Selection dilemmas are good when you've got too many players.
Oh, exactly. You'd rather have the problem than not have it.
Yeah,
exactly.
There'll be a few boys looking to have a big week on the training track this week.
Well, from what I can see, there are a few boys that had a big week in this game. Delahunty continues to do just some fantastic work.
Isn't
on the ground.
He incredible?
He's great.
He's so unique in that he can get those hitouts, 24 hitouts, and then can get 23 disposals as well. And he often sneaks forward. He didn't this week, but he can often sneak forward and kick a couple. He can take great marks. I mean, it's like having four different positional players in one man.
Hockey Poppy, he had 12 tackles, which I think is quite an underrated stat in some ways. It means you're literally around the ball the whole time and making an impact.
An absolute bull. I'd say he would be pretty sore come Monday morning. Liam Baker, like we were talking about before, came off that concussion. He had 8 tackles, which shows absolutely no fear after being stretched off last week.
Absolutely.
So good for him. He also managed to kick 3 goals, 2 of those in the first quarter, and just continued throughout the game. And Jimmy actually caught up with him after the win.
3 goals, mate, into a grand final. How are you feeling?
Very excited. First grand final. And, wanted to get a bit of redemption from last week.
And you came over from West Perth. And you've got to work with guys like Lee Kitchen, Kyle Horsley, Adam Cocky, to name a few. What's that been like for you?
I've learned a lot professionalism-wise from a lot of the older boys and the way they lead and stuff like that. It's been good working around them, and they teach you a lot of things, especially Scully as well, like those kind of boys, and it's good, yeah.
I know you can't say too much about the review and what's come out, but what was the message from Scully at heart? At quarter time, South Mount started really red hot, and then the team worked your way into the game. How did you start that hot?
I don't know, we just wanted to start it hot, and it was come off. I got a bit lucky in the first quarter, but we just weren't working hard enough both ways, and that was our key focus going into the second quarter. And yeah, we managed to do it and got on top in the second quarter, which was good.
And Peel Thunder, they present an enormous opportunity, an enormous challenge next week. What would it mean to you to win a premiership flag with this Subiaco Footy Club?
I've never really had any team success, which is so pretty exciting for me. And also, we lost last week, and we want to make it up for it this week. And yeah, especially with the boys losing the grand final to them last year, a bit of fire in the belly, I think.
And talk about fire in the belly, there was a lot of talk last year that you were a massive draft chance. You missed out. Do you think you're a chance this year? I mean, you're playing some really good footy, goals in finals. What do you think?
Oh, you never really know, really. I just want to keep playing good footy, and if I can play good enough footy in this final series and had a few good games during the year, and then if what happens, happens. Not really thinking about that, just thinking about the week ahead.
Liam Baker, thanks very much for your time. Well played today. Good luck in the grand final next week.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks to Liam for chatting to us after the big game.
And Poppy, I've just noted this. Subi's colours look awfully like Hawthorn's, correct?
Correct.
Well, another player who used to wear these colours in his past career as an AFL player, Angus Littleland, he had quite a good game himself, and Jimmy also caught up with him in the rooms.
Gussie, you must be thrilled to be in the grand final.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess every footballer, you start the season, start pre-season, that's what you want to do, and for us to make it, we had a pretty good season, and then to make the grand final, pretty wrapped with it, and the boys are pretty excited, so looking forward to the week ahead.
The back six today was fantastic. Ben Saunders, who has kicked a lot of goals for South Fremantle throughout the year, you guys were terrifically back as a unit down there. What was the message from Jared Schofield?
Just to play how we like to play, back each other in, just having faith in each other that when it's your turn to go, you go. We worked well, plenty of chatter during the day, and guys played their role, and didn't have to have a great four-quarter game, but whenever it's their turn, they did it.
So. I've got to ask you, Gussie, did you see the incident with Cole Halligan at all?
No, what happened?
I didn't see it at all.
No dramas. So Peel Thunder next week, chance at winning a premiership medal. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, excited. I've been pretty lucky to have a few goes at a grand final. None at waffle level yet, but pretty excited. Great bunch of boys here. It's been such a great club environment, and Scully's been driving the whole list pretty hard to get the Colts off the bottom, the Rezzies into the grand final as well, and then the league just shows, runs a pretty tight ship, and there's not a toe out of line that he doesn't know about and puts back on the other side of the line real quick.
And how worth it is it for you to be a part of what could be a premiership team because of what Jared Schofield does for this footy club?
Yeah, unbelievable. So it's not just what happens between these four walls. You're expected to give a high standard outside as well. And it's not just Scully. He puts great faith in the leadership group as well, and very vocal on and off field, the leadership group. And, they make sure everyone's doing the right thing and taking care of each other.
Thanks to Angus for catching up with us after the game there.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti, I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the actual Sandover medalist's performance the day before he gets given the award.
He was just as good as he always has been. He had 27 disposals and 16 handballs, 5 tackles in and around the ball, and he managed to kick a goal just to top it all off. I mean, What can he do?
Well, he didn't get a hit out, so that area of his game he might need to improve
on. Well, 2018, you'll be seeing Hayden Shaloth getting a hit out, I guarantee. Challenge. That's a challenge, Hayden.
Or he's getting it on an AFL list. That's what he'd like to do.
Back on an AFL list because my club foolishly delisted him. That's another one. We got rid of Menegola and how well's he doing? Then we get rid of Shaloth and how well's he doing?
Maybe
Christ.
He's up to Geelong. Maybe.
No, we'll take him back, thanks.
Well, he had a few more words to say to the media after he won his award.
How's that feel?
Yeah, it feels pretty special. Like I said before, you don't really come into the season expecting to win individual awards. It's more about the team success, and obviously it's really disappointing that we bowed out yesterday, but to come away tonight with the most prestige individual award in the league is something that I'll cherish for the rest of my life.
Good result for Seth Randall, for you and Tim Kelly, obviously.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like I've said on numerous occasions, Tim's an absolute freak of a player. He's had a fantastic year, and it's unbelievable that he's done so well in the count as well. And he's a good friend of mine, and I wish him nothing but the best for the future, and I really, really hope he gets an opportunity in the AFL.
Surprisingly, didn't mention his return to the Fremantle list, but we'll await that news with bated breath.
Jesus. If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
We've come down to the very pointy end of the season, Pop. It's the grand final, rematch between last year's combatants.
I know, it's going to be really interesting to see how it goes, given they met up, you know, 2 weeks ago, and given obviously Peel got over the line with the help of a few of the AFL boys.
A few, that's a stretch.
Yes, so it'll be really interesting to see how Subi combat that, whether they go a little bit different in their game plan, whether they even select differently to combat those bigger bodies that the AFL players bring to the team. I mean, they've come with a lot of experience, a lot of older guys there, Daniel Pearce, Zach Dawson, Ibbotson. They're all players that have been in the AFL system for years. So does Subi bring in some of their older guys? Or do they, you know, stick with the formula that worked for 19 games in a row?
What would you do? Would you stick or would you change?
That's a really good question. I would probably bring in Phelan.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the experience that he brings. But given they played so well on the weekend, who do you drop?
That's the thing. See, for me, I would be the opposite. I would
stick with it.
You've got a winning, you'd say culture. You've got a winning structure right now. All the players have earned their spot. Unless something unforeseen happens on the training track or something completely unforeseen happens, I think the team should stay the same.
I mean,
but then again, I'm not the coach.
It's not as if Phelan was not involved in that, though. He played well for the first half of the season until the injury. And I mean, I don't know. It's going to be a tough job for the Subi selection committee. And then for Peel, they've got to decide which Dockers to bring in and which Dockers to leave out. I mean, Peel players.
You mean Peel players?
Mm, oh,
okay.
Yeah. They pull on a Peel jumper, so I guess they're Peel players.
Well, see, as the Waffle page, the Waffle Facebook page, garnered quite a lot of attention in terms of the availability of Zach Dawson after his incident.
I know. I am in agreement with the people that have been on Facebook. I do think it's ridiculous that he is allowed to play this week. And I mean, I'm a Dockers supporter, and you know that all cards on the table. I'm a Dockers supporter. But you can't just knock someone out and be allowed to play the very next week just because it's a grand final and it might be your last game of footy. It's sentiment doesn't come into it. You knocked someone out and he was stretched off the field. Mate, sit down and take a week, at least.
But the thing is, it's not like he even argued the case. The MRP threw the case out. So they said there was nothing to worry about because he wasn't reported on the day.
I mean, that is ridiculous. There are things, and I know that it's a different code, but there are things in the AFL that, you know, get given a week, and this gets basically laughed out of the tribunal because, you know, it wasn't even reported on the day. You've got people accidentally, you know, not even jumper punching someone and they're getting 3 weeks. You know, it's just, as you can tell, I'm a touch worked up about it, but I just think.
So you think, let me just get this clear, you think it was a mistake?
that they didn't give him a week.
Yes.
Yes, correct. You would be.
Just making sure that point's as crystal clear as possible. Don't worry, I'm in complete agreement, as with many of our commenters. Thank you also for commenting and paying attention to the Facebook page, guys.
Like the Facebook page. Share it with your friends.
Support is awesome. Now, we have to go for the tips quickly. Only one game. Who is going to win? Is Super Peel? Are they going to...
Peel Mantle.
Are they going to get two in a row? Or has Subi perhaps, I guess you could say, felt out the team and they know what to expect now?
Learned
from Subi could get their victory.
Look, I hope Subi Akko win because they clearly were the best team all year. And realistically, I know everyone wants a good grand final, but for an impartial, you know, if you're an impartial, you want the best team to win because they've earned it. They won 19 on the trot. They've earned the grand final, and I think they probably have earned the win, I think, but I don't think they'll get it, which pains me to say, but I think having that much AFL experience in their side, Peel, I think it's going to make it difficult. I really do.
It's strange thinking that the team that, as you said, has won 19 games in a row until a few weeks ago is the underdog in this game, which is crazy. And I'm tipping on heart. I'm not tipping with my head here. My head says Peel will win purely because they have an AFL team in the Waffle.
Pretty much.
But my heart's saying Subi are going to do it for Jared Schofield. They are going to win it. They're going to do it for the third place runner-up in the Centre of Metal, Kyle Horsley, who polled very well.
Yes.
They're going to do it, I think, in the final game at Subi Akko Oval.
I hope you're right, because it's Subi Akko Oval, and I think they should go out with a Subi Akko victory. And I know I'm probably going to upset all the Peel fans, but I think that they deserve it, and I'm hoping that Subi win.
We also have to say, though, that Peel, despite there's the controversy about it, Peel have earned the right to be there.
That's exactly
right. They have won their games.
And they earned a spot in the finals. They could only be in this position if they'd earned a spot in the finals. And they did that without a lot of those AFL-listed boys. They were in the team, but they've brought in, obviously, the experienced ones who aren't playing September footy. They did that without those boys. So all credit to Peel. But at this point in the season, I think it's not overly fair that they can have that much AFL experience, and so I think Subi.
I think you're not alone in that thought process with it possibly being unfair.
And just the details for that game. So that'll be at Subi Oval, like we said, on Sunday, and it'll kick off at 2:50, and the coverage will start on Channel 7 at 2:30. So if you can't get down to the game, make sure you're watching it on TV to support whoever you think should win this year's grand final.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
So, Jared, obviously, last night, this is why the podcast is late, because last night was the night of nights for the Waffle, and our man Jared was there. Tell us about it.
Night of nights, black tie event. Actually, a bit awkward. I didn't have a black suit, so I wore a blue suit and I blended in the dark, so...
It's a black tie event, not a blue tie event.
But in the end, it was a great
get it together.
It was a great event. Now, the night itself, Peel coach has caused a bit of controversy as well. Has won coach of the year, Cam Shepherd.
Well, this time of year doesn't seem to favour Peel off field. On field, terrific. Off field, people aren't mad about them. Let's be honest. Well, they are mad about them. They're just not happy about them. Mad.
I feel Jared Schofield was a little hard done by doing 19 wins in a row, though.
That is fairly impressive.
That's quite an impressive coaching, but I'm not a judge, so it's left it. Congratulations, Cam Shepherd, well earned. And then,
to his credit, I think whilst I think Jared Schofield probably deserved it, Cam Shepherd does have to deal with players being chopped and changed in and out of his side. And with the Dockers having so many inclusions and list changes and side changes this year, to his credit, I don't know if it's entirely not warranted, because I think dealing with that and then still making the finals is an achievement for him and for the club.
No, I fully get that and completely agree. A completely changing side is still something, and to get to the grand final is a well done, well-achieved feat. But to the actual votes of the big award itself. Now, Hayden Schloyth and Tim Kelly were the big favourites. Kyle Horsley as well. Shane Nelson also was expected to poll very well.
The accumulator.
And the night started off Tim Kelly. It was all Tim Kelly to start with. Five votes Tim Kelly, four votes Hayden Schloyth in the same games. They were just neck and neck the whole way. Tim Kelly pulled out a lead early after a couple of the breaks that we had in the night. And then about halfway through, it was all Hayden Schloyth when his form turned and became the powerhouse that he was at the second half of the season. He just took control and essentially said, "Nice to see you, Tim, but I've got this." And
thanks for dishing me out all those hand passes from the midfield, because this baby's mine.
Well, what I was surprised with is I wasn't surprised that Hayden and Tim were doing so well. It was that Shane Nelson and Kyle Horsley, or more in fact, Shane Nelson, wasn't polling as well as I thought he would, because he was accumulating.
He had 51 at one point.
Oh, he polled in that game. Yeah, don't you worry.
Did he poll the five?
He did poll the five, and then because that was the same game Keitel kicked seven. And Keitel, and then I was talking to a friend of mine next to me and was like, who are they going to, surely they're the two best on ground. Who's going to get rewarded the most? Do they prefer possessions or do they prefer goals? And this is what the answer was. The umpires preferred 51 possessions to seven goals.
Look, they're both really good stats. And if you were either of those blokes, you'd probably take that game any day of the week.
In the end, it was still a fantastic situation. Clint Jones.
I thought he would poll a lot better. He was just so consistent, and especially in a team where, with all due respect to the Perth Demons, there weren't a lot of shining lights this year. It was a pretty grim year for them. And he was just phenomenal. I thought every week, whether they were, you know, winning or losing.
When they showed the overall results of each of the players and each of the squads, he was by far the standout vote getter in that team. I feel, though, if he was winning, he would be much higher.
Do you think if he was in a team like, say, Subi, mm-hmm. do you think he would have been a lot closer to Hayden Schloyth than he was?
Absolutely. He had a fantastic year, a consistently good year. And just sadly, I think it was the fact that he was in a losing team.
Got overlooked a bit.
But the night was Hayden's. It got to the point where he polled out of a possible 35 votes. He polled 30 of them. And it's just, from then on, it was, he's done it. He's won it. And then it got to the final moments when no one was going to be able to beat him. And then Mark Gibbs and the MC, just, it was it. All the cameras turned to him. I now pronounce the winner, Hayden Schloyth.
Yeah. I mean, he's a very impressive footballer. And I wouldn't be surprised, actually, if he was looked at to be rookie listed for an AFL club.
Well, that's the thing. He wants to go. He wants a second shot at it. Of course, you said he was at the Freo rookie list.
Yep. We'll have him back, actually. Thanks.
Well,
Haydos. Schloythy. Come back. We'll have you.
I don't think he wants to join if he's going to be called that.
Ross Lyon will take you back in a heartbeat.
Well, if he plays anything like he has in Waffle, I think a lot of clubs will come looking.
Him and Liam Ryan, I think, will almost shoo-ins to find themselves at least looking at an AFL spot.
What about Tim Kelly?
Yeah, he's been really good too, mm-hmm. hasn't he?
But he's going to have a young family. His wife is expecting twins.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes, so he might have to stay back.
That's okay, we'll take him too.
There you go. Ross Lyon, recruiting strategy, Poppy here.
If anybody needs youth, it's probably West Coast.
At the moment, yes, with some changes.
They'll need anyone they can get. They just lost 900 games of experience in 1 minute.
And expect more to come as well.
Yeah, I think there'll be a few retirements. But this isn't an AFL podcast. This is all about the Waffle. So now, Jared, here's down to the really important stuff from last night. Tell me about the food and drink.
Well, the food and drink was very good. What'd you have? Well, I can't remember what they were called because there were words that I'm not used to. I'm used to seeing hamburger or chips.
I thought you were going to give me another reason why you couldn't remember anything.
No, that...
A few frothies?
For a few other teams, I think. For a few players, it was a hard night to remember. I was driving. I had to stay alert. But I have to commend Crown. They put on a fantastic food and beverage service.
Just please note, this is not a plug for Crown.
No, it's a plug. It was just a fantastic night. Steve Tui at the Waffle organizer helped me out majorly with this, finding a seat and everything. It was amazing. Thank you, Steve. But you asked about the food. Entree was chicken with some stuff that was mashed up.
Delicious. That probably was really a nice potato.
Maybe. I can't confirm that. I think there was a carrot on there somewhere.
Wow, eh?
Then we moved on to the main course, which was sirloin.
Mm.
That was very nice. It had some more mashed up things and like fancy little wiped across things you'd pay like $1,000 for and like tiny cert portions.
Are they big portions?
No.
Oh, that's a shame because there's a lot of beer on those nights and you want something big and carby.
There was a lot of beer, but it was spread out over such a long amount of time
that you were when you trashed eat slowly, by dessert. I mean, eat slowly. Sorry.
Drink responsibly.
Always.
And then dessert was, look, I'm not a fan of peanut butter. I never have been.
Right.
But there, when I saw them on the menu, it was a, like a chocolate mousse ice cream with peanut butter. I was like, oh no, I'm not going to like this. Came out, was possibly one of the nicest things I've ever had. I didn't taste the peanut butter. I don't know where it was on there, but that was delicious. Well, and that is the food situation.
It sounds like it was a good night. I mean, guys, I'm ready for my invite next year. Just a shout out to the Waffle. We've worked really hard on this podcast and I've got a dress, so it's fun.
She's already been shopping, guys. She's already been shopping.
Just a shout out to the Sandover for Jimmy's absence today.
Oh, yeah. See, Jimmy was one of the people that has... He...
Has fallen victim.
The service was too good.
To the overflow of frothy beer.
Yes, there was refills galore, let's just say. They were always on offer.
Some people just take advantage of these things. Good to see you fronted up, Jared.
Yes, some of us. Jimmy, you're on notice.
Before we sign off for the penultimate Monday Waffle episode, I would just like to say a really huge thank you to the Subiaco Football Club and a couple of select individuals. A lady who was in the office toward the end of the fourth quarter and a gentleman who helped her. I went down there pretty crook, actually. I had chest pains, I couldn't breathe, and I was panicking. And this lady and gentleman basically sprung into action, took me into the rooms, pulled the club doctor off of the bench and checked me over. I was told to go to the ER. Thankfully, it's, you know, really it's nothing comparatively. But I just want to say a massive thank you to the people at Subiaco and those three in particular for what feels like saving my life. I was panicked and I felt, by the time I left those club rooms, I felt so calm. And, yeah, I just want to say a massive thank you to them and good luck on the weekend.
And that's it for the second last Monday Waffle of season 2017. Poppy, bring on the grand final.
That's right. I'm so excited. So we'll try and get down to the game. It's 2:50 this weekend. It's going to be a cracker, I reckon. I've got a good feeling about it.
Fingers crossed.
Thank you for listening to the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.